All right. Okay, welcome back. Hope you soaked up a lot of oil. Okay. So since we've been on somewhat of a break, even before you went on break, we missed a couple of shiurim. So today I'm going to do some review and some new. Okay, so it's kind of part review, part new. And by the way, I really appreciate guys have been SMSing me when you can't come, so please do that. Also, you can ask somebody to tell me, I'm sorry, I can't make it, which is also fine, right? But I think it's the right thing to do. You let, not just me, I think every shiur you're in, you should let your Rebbe know. If you can't make it, you should let him know. All right, so today, we're going to do a little bit of review and also some new. And what we're doing is we're kind of looking at the map of who we are. And the key to everything in your life is to know who you are and to be who you are and become the master of your mind rather than a slave to your mind. And so, and the issue that I think is really incredibly relevant about this is that this is addressing the very key to everything in our lives, which is our self-esteem. All right, and the question that we're really responding to, of course, we're responding to a lot of different questions, but the most important question here is, what is the source of unconditional self-worth? Because everybody's problem is rooted in how they feel about themselves. And everybody knows, Ahav l'recha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself, but I'm not sure everybody realizes that that's predicated on loving yourself. And therefore, you have a mitzvah, or a hachana l'mitzvah, to prepare the mitzvah, after echa kamocha, you have to love yourself, okay? But a lot of people don't love themselves. And very often people, even if they do love themselves, their self-worth is very conditioned on their talents, or their social status, or their girlfriend, or their financial situation. And then if any of that is lost, then their whole self-worth is lost. And even if it's not lost, you're living with tremendous anxiety because you know it could be lost. And you know what's at stake here is your sense of self, which has been built on things that are transient that you know you don't really have complete control over. And you know we're not going to last forever. And that's why this is literally probably the most important thing I could teach anybody in this world, right? Jewish and not Jewish. Right, which is if people would just feel better about themselves and respect themselves and honor themselves and be the masters of their life rather than the victims of their life, then so much would be better. And I always say, people who are hurting people are people who are hurting. Right? Did you get that? So if you know somebody that's hurting people, it's because they're hurting. And that's why they hurt other people. And the reason why they're hurting is they really feel bad about themselves, okay? And so, you know, depression is a huge problem in the world today. And the third highest ranking reason for death amongst teenagers is suicide, you know? And so this is not a small thing. Who are you and how do you find a sense of self that can never, ever be taken away from you? Yeah.
Just to, like, go back on what you just said, people who hurt other people were probably hurt before.
No, not hurt before. They are hurting right now. In other words, they're in pain, and they're inflicting pain on other people because they're in pain.
So what about terrorists?
They're also in pain. Yes, they're also, they hate their lives.
They think that they're doing the right thing, and
okay, the question is what you do with your low self-esteem, you turn it into religion, and then you find a religion that's going to boost your self-esteem, because we're all right, you're all wrong. I mean, my website was recently terrorized. DavidAaron.com has Arabic writing all over it, right? And it was destroyed. It was destroyed by some kind of Arab group, right? With, it looks like, somebody told me it looks like, what do they call it, ISIS? Here they call it Daesh. Looks like the ISIS emblem on it. And they targeted Jewish websites. So I got hit big time. So why do people do that? I don't even know you guys. You know, maybe if you came to my shiur, maybe you were alumni of Breita, maybe I understand. you'd want to get back at me, but what did I do? It's just hate. It's just pure hate for the sake of hate. But it comes from a place. You hate other people when you don't love yourself. And when you love yourself, you will love other people because you won't be challenged by them. You won't be frustrated by them. And what they say to you doesn't hurt because it doesn't hurt me because I don't need you. I don't need your approval to feel good about myself. Okay? I'm not saying this is easy. This is not easy. But you got to know, well, what is the dynamics of it and what we need to be sensitive to and what we need to be working on in order to master our lives. Yeah, cool.
So what's the difference between arrogance type of loving yourself and like healthy loving yourself?
Oh, great question. Arrogant people are the people with the lowest self-esteem. That's why they're so arrogant, right? That's why they need so much attention. That's why they need so much, that's why they need to talk so much about themselves. And the reason why they need to talk so much about and against other people is because they're looking for very inappropriate ways, quick fixes to feel good about themselves. But that's a sure sign of low self-esteem when you meet people that are arrogant, right? So I don't know if I shared this with you, but I might have. I saw an interview. I don't generally see these interviews, but I saw an interview with Cher. I told you this? Right, so I saw an interview with Cher on the Charlie Rose show. I don't know why I was, I don't know, I was in, generally when I'm traveling, I'm in a hotel, I can't fall asleep, so I look at what's on television. So that's how I saw this. So I was seeing this interview with Cher, and she's got blonde hair. Now, do you know who Cher is?
She has brown hair.
Jet black hair. So if you know a little bit about Cher,
about Cher before.
I talked about Cher before?
Yeah,
well, I like to share Cher. Okay. So Cher is on the Charlie Rose show, and she's got blonde hair, okay, which was not her brand, okay? And Charlie says to her on camera, Cher, it's a publicly known fact that you have very low self-esteem. That's what he says to her on camera. So she says, oh, yeah, Charlie, I really do feel bad. She starts saying all these self-deprecating things about herself, which is making me really feel good, right? She's saying all these bad things about herself. And so he says, Cher, do you think that's really common in the industry and Hollywood and music? She says, Charlie, of course. Otherwise, why would you and I be in front of these cameras? Did you see what she just did? She said, Charlie, why would you and I be in front of the cameras? Like, Charlie, don't think you're doing so much better either, So what's going on, I share with you, I did have a little bit of a stint in Hollywood and met some, Hollywood producers, directors, actors. And one of the things I found so amazing is how insecure a lot of them are. And they're talking about like mega successful people. And they're really insecure. And I don't know if I told you the story, but I was meeting with a director who was about to get this Oscar. Everybody knew that he was going to get this Oscar for the best film of the year. And when he picked me up in the car, because Kirk Douglas suggested you should meet with this rabbi, so he came and picked me up in the car, and the first thing he says to me when I get in the car, who else are you studying with in Hollywood? I realized, oh my gosh, the reason why this guy wanted to meet me is because he knew I was teaching Kirk Douglas Torah. And if Kirk Douglas was learning Torah with this guy, then I want to know this guy. And so that was what was on his mind, is who else are you learning with? And I found like such incredible insecurity going on. So you can have tons of money, but never confuse your net worth with your self-worth, okay? Because it just doesn't work that way, all right? And also don't confuse self-confidence with self-esteem. There are a lot of people who are very confident and feel really rotten about themselves. I mean, Marilyn Monroe was very confident as an actress, but she obviously really felt pretty horrible about herself. So there are a lot of people that are very confident, but that doesn't mean that their self-esteem is in place. And so, believe it or not, Judaism was the root of self-esteem. Judaism said to the world something ridiculous. You're creating the image of God. And you should treat yourself that way and treat other people that way. But if you can't treat yourself that way, and who's closer to you than you, then how are you going to treat other people that way? Well, you don't even treat yourself that way. That's why you're not allowed to say bad things about yourself. You're not allowed to speak lashon hara about yourself, right? So you got to stop using negative language about yourself, okay? It's hard for people to accept compliments, but they take criticism so quickly. There was a doctor that did research on self-esteem. He found that it took people 15 seconds of praise before they would accept any of it. But it took people 1 second of criticism to accept it all. Right? As soon as you criticize them, they accept it. But you'd have to, if you wanted to compliment somebody, you'd have to talk for 15 seconds. It's not good enough to say, hey, that was a really good article. That's not long enough. You have to say, that was an incredible article, and I read it, and it really had a big impact on me, and you wrote it so beautifully, and there was so much depth. And then when you get to 15 seconds, he found that that's when the guy actually started to believe what you had to say and accept it. So self-esteem is really the key to everything in our lives. Everything. But so the question is, so who are you? Right? Who really are you? And so we talked about that Torah says you're a soul. That's the self. In English, you know, the word self is the most closest word to correlate to neshama, soul. Now, I'm not talking about nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida, which are more specific terminology, which we'll talk about at another time. But we do talk about soul in general as neshama. But then it's more specific. But just soul. You are a soul. That's what you are. You don't have a soul. See, most people think, I have a soul, I have a body. Well, then who am I? Okay? Who's the I? Am I a soul? Am I a body? Okay? You don't have a soul. You are a soul. Now, the next step after this is I'm going to start doing sources with you. But right now, I want to kind of give you a preview to the bigger picture. And then we'll go detail, and look at the sources so you can see that I'm not making this up. And this is actually what Judaism teaches. Yeah.
So you can't take criticism personally. And you really shouldn't be taking a compliment personally. What can you take personally? Nothing?
I didn't say that you can't take criticism personally. I didn't say that. I think you should take criticism personally. My point is that people take it very personally, very quickly, and are very easily swayed and accepting of your criticism, but not so accepting of your praise. Try it. You'll go to someone's home and say, Mrs. So-and-so, this is the greatest apple pie I've ever had. Have you ever heard a person saying, I actually burnt it? Right? They'll actually say that. They will find something to say bad about what they did. It's not uncommon that people go, oh, please, no. You don't have right to say that. You have no right to say no. If you did a great job, then you should say, Baruch Hashem, thank you. You know, just say thank you. But people don't do that. They put it down. They say, that was a great Dvar Torah. Right? You can't imagine how much you would heal people if you just say nicer things to them. Because that's what we all need, some really just kind words. You could change a person's life with kind words. Right? And that's what I try to do. I try to give kind words to people. And for whatever reason, because of my position and age, people believe me more than they did when I was younger. You know? But now they got a little gray in my beard, and I'm a rabbi. If I say a nice thing, then Rabbi Aaron said this nice thing about me. Maybe he's right. You know? So, okay, if I can use my position for that. But we all need constant encouragement. Because I think a lot of us have gotten a lot of criticism. You know? And we've been beat up, whether, I don't know where that beat up came from, but it could have been a schoolyard, you know, people calling you names, you know, calling you dirty Jew, you know. Yeah, Moshe?
But do you always have to believe what you're saying?
Do I have to believe what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to, no. You don't lie. You can always find something good to say about a person without lying. You shouldn't lie, first of all, because when you praise somebody, it's got to be credible. If they don't really believe you, and this is like 101, raising your children, you know, 101 is if you praise your children, it's got to be credible. To just say, you're such a tzaddik. He doesn't believe he's a tzaddik. He doesn't say any, why am I a tzaddik? What did I do? So you want to be very specific with whatever compliments you give to your kids, that thank you so much, I really appreciate it. You brought that, and you didn't really have to do that, and I really appreciate that. But give them to substantiate why they really did something, you know, they did something good, you know. But this is it. Parenthood is it. You're going to eat your children if you don't raise them in a healthy way, you know. And a big part of it is you're raising a child to believe in himself. And if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to believe in God, right? If you believe in yourself, you won't believe that you're an evolved monkey. You won't look in the mirror and think, I must be an accident. I know I'm not an accident, and therefore I believe in God. But I start with myself, right? I, this is not a big bang. I'm just not, you know? It's just not. Yeah, David.
Where does honor fall into this?
Okay. Wasn't that he wasn't confident in himself? When he was trying to push off his job to Aaron, right? That was a cover for his brother, okay? And also part of it is part one way of seeing it is he was also checking himself, right? Which is, I don't want to do it for my sake. I want to do it because you really think this is what I should be doing, okay? But you have to understand, anava doesn't mean that you put yourself down. That's stupidity. And that's wrong. You have no right to put yourself down. Kodesh Baruch Hu created you. He gave you these talents, and you got to do something with it. And he believes in you. And you say that every single morning. Moda ani lefanecha melechai v'kayam, shechazarta b'nishmati b'chemla, rabba emunatecha. Great is your faith. Every morning, did anybody point that out to you? Every morning, you've been basically thanking Hashem that he believes in you. You didn't say, great is my faith. It didn't say, rabba emunati. He said, Rabbi Munatecha, you believe in me. If I'm awake today, that means I got something of divine significance to be doing. So you're not allowed to put yourself down. You have no right to put yourself down, right? But anava means that I know that the powers within me are not from me, okay? I didn't teach myself how to speak. So if I can get up in the public and speak, right? I didn't teach myself humor. Right, my father was a very funny guy. I understood my grandfather was a funny guy. You get humor, fine. But there's very little things I could point to that I could actually say I worked at. I've taken what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me and I've tried to apply them. Yeah? But if you're good at something, you should just thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave you that koach. And the way to thank him is to do good with it and serve with it. Okay. But anava doesn't mean I think I'm worthless. Anava just understands that in and of myself, I am worthless. In and of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm a masterpiece because I'm a piece of the master. Okay? Okay. So you are a soul. And as a soul, you come into this world and you've been given a character to play. Okay? And the Gemara says in the Leshen, which was one of the great Kabbalists, explains this Gemara is that you were even asked, you know, do you want to play this part? And what that exactly means, I don't want to go into right now. I'm not even quite sure what it means. But the point is that you're not a victim. The kind of parents you have, the kind of challenges you have, right? All this, and this is the healthiest way to look at it no matter what, is all there for you to grow. Everything in your life is an opportunity. There are no problems. Just opportunities, okay, for growing. Now, if you don't take it as an opportunity for growing, then it does become a problem. But the only reason why you think it's a problem is because you haven't seen that it's an opportunity for growth. And so whenever something happens to you, you have to say, don't call it a problem. Call it a challenge, right? Call it a situation. But better, call it an opportunity. But never call it a problem. Never say, we have a problem, right? We have an opportunity here. We have a struggle here, right? But you are our soul, and you've been given a deck of cards. And in that deck of cards are some real challenging things. And you actually say this every day in the bracha, right? You say, Baruch Ata Hashem Shasali Kol Tarki. You've made for me everything I need. Rav Kook explains that what that means is even the tough stuff in my life is what I need. I got this kind of mother, that's what I needed. I got this kind of a brother, that's what I needed. I ended up in this community and ended up in this school with these kind of kids, that's what I needed. Now the question is, what am I going to do with it? You know, what am I going to do with that? But Rav Kook says that when you make the bracha, shasali kol tzarki, you've made for me everything I need, then Rav Kook says that's not only the positive things that you recognize as positive, but even the chisronot, even the problematic things, even the challenging things, it's all there because it's what I need, right? And as you've probably heard, one of the greatest Hasidic rebbes used to teach, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you get what you need.
Is that Rob Jagger?
Yes. Jagger. Michael Jagger. So you are a soul and you come into this world. And everything you say about yourself isn't really about yourself. It's about your character. The self cannot be described. The self which is doing the describing is indescribable. But then the question, well, what's the difference between yourself and myself? Well, that's like, you know, the power of seeing, talking to the power of hearing and saying, what's the difference between us? Right? Describe yourself. Well, the power of hearing, the power of seeing cannot be described. Right? They can't be described. You can't describe hearing by any sounds. You can't describe it, but you know there's a difference between seeing and hearing. So we are, so to speak, a spectrum of consciousness. You are awareness. That's what you are. You are awareness. You are a field of awareness. And your awareness is different than my awareness. How so? It is, right? Seeing awareness is a very different kind of awareness than hearing awareness, which is very different than a touching awareness and a tasting awareness. Different kinds of awareness. So you are unique, that's for sure, okay? But you come in this world, you've been given a part to play. And now the question is what you do with it. And I'm sure I mentioned to you, but just very quickly, the Gemara says that if a person was born at the time of Mars, whatever that means, you will be born with a bloodthirsty character. Is there anything wrong with a bloodthirsty character? No. What's wrong is what you do with it. If you take your bloodthirsty character and become a serial killer, you know, well, then that's a problem, okay? But when David HaMelech was born, the Midrash says that the parents said, oy vey, this is a redhead. I don't know any redheads, right? This is a redhead. And they were worried that he's going to be like Edom. He's going to be like Esav. And they were told, no, this will be a bloodshedder in the name of God, and this will be a bloodshedder, right, for selfish reasons. But yes, he will be a warrior. David HaMelech will be a warrior, okay? But there's a huge difference. So yes, it's true, Esav and David HaMelech had something in common. But what they didn't have in common is what they chose to do with it. And that's where the issue is. There's nothing wrong with anybody in this room, right? But what could be wrong is what you're doing with the powers that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you. You know, you could have an incredible power of persuasion. Now, what are you doing with that? Are you using your power of persuasion to persuade little kids to buy products that is destroying their lives? You could do that and make a lot of money, right? But that's not the best thing to be doing with that, okay? But everybody, and that's what actually Yaakov, this is what Yitzchak says to Esav. When Esav comes in and says, well, give me a bracha, daddy, and his father says, who was that before? He says, your brother came with deception, taking your blessing. So I believe it's the Sfat Emes that he learns that to mean, your brother came with the power of deception, which was your blessing. You, Esav, were blessed with the ability to manipulate. And rather using that manipulation for good things, you could have been a spy for the Israeli army. That's a good thing, right? But you didn't use your blessing. You didn't use your blessing as a blessing. Okay? So all the parts of your personality, there's nothing wrong with your personality. It's just whether you're directing it properly. Because everything about you, right, can be good and can be bad. That's why it's called a midah. A midah is an attribute, but it also just means a measure. And so every measure could be a good measure or a bad measure. Okay? So there's this, there's a woman by the name of Debbie Ford, she passed away, Jewish woman, and she wrote a best-selling book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. It became a bestseller, and basically it's Jungian philosophy, and Jungian psychology, and it's amazing stuff. It just so resonates with Judaism. I know her because I sent her my book and I asked her to, you know, give me an endorsement. She really loved the book. And so we started a dialogue. And so she says to me, she says in her book that she went to this Jungian workshop. And and the workshop person looked at her and she said, and I'm going to ask you to forgive my language, but this is what she said. Okay. She said she looked in front of everybody, and she, and I was thinking of a better word, but it just won't work. So she turns to Debbie, and she says, in front of everybody, she says, "Debbie, you're a bitch, aren't you?" And Debbie can't believe it. She just can't believe it. She said this in front of everybody. And Debbie was so embarrassed. And the teacher said, "Isn't it true?" Right? "Isn't it true?" And Debbie said, "Well, yeah, it is." So she said, "So Debbie, tell me what's good about being a bitch." And she said, "Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm so embarrassed that you brought it up. What good is it for me to come to a workshop like this if you're just embarrassing me?" Right? She says, "No, Debbie, you don't get it. I want you to tell me what's good about it." Right? She says, "Nothing's good about it." She said, "Debbie, let's say a guy comes to your building. He's a repairman. And he doesn't do such a good job. Right? Do you think you could let him have it?" She says, "I always let him have it." She says, "Well, that's a good use of that power." Right? There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, do you use it with the right people, at the right times, in the right dosage? And that's what you got to do, is look at yourself. Right? What is it about you? Your blessings are your curses, and your curses are your blessings. Right? And you're going to find this when you get married, because it's very common that when you meet somebody, you're very attracted to her spontaneity. You just love, she's so spontaneous. Then you get married, and you can't stand the fact that the house is a mess. Well, wait a second, she's spontaneous. Right? Spontaneity will come with that. She's also spontaneous with the house. So you just have to understand that it almost always comes with the other side. And you have to decide which side is more important to you. But really, you're going to find a person. You'll find somebody that's really on time. And you love that about them. And then you can't stand the fact that they're so rigid. Well, but that's the point. They're very on time. And so they're going to most likely be pretty rigid too. That's the way it goes. It's a midah. It's a measure. And you have to just know that about yourself. And look at the things that you don't like about yourself and realize that there's nothing wrong with it. You're just probably using it wrong. Right? And find a way to use it right. Okay? But there's nothing wrong with it. It's just you're not using it. You just use it, and then it just turns into gold. And you turn this trash into a treasure. Okay? So that's you are a soul, and you come in this world, and you're given a character. And you've got all these character traits. Right? And my wife, before she became religious, was an astrologist. And I've seen my map, and my map is freaked me out. Because all these things that I thought that I had done for myself, that I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all in my astrological map. Right? I'm not encouraging you to do your astrological map. First of all, it's a halachic question. There are some poskim that are totally against astrology. There's some that say it's okay if it's just for character traits, not horoscopes. Everybody agrees that horoscopes is forbidden. Shouldn't be trying to figure out the future. But in the astrological map, it's just shocking what it says there about me, right? But this was there when I was born. It says on my map, right, that I have the ability to communicate deep ideas in simple ways, right? Which a lot of people have told me that throughout my career. And then it was right there in my map. And that was right there. And so, I did nothing to do that. That's just the way I am. I like to take complicated ideas and distill it and to try and really say it clearly. I just love doing that. That's just something that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me. Now, I could have done that with lots of stuff. I could have gone into marketing, right? You could use that in marketing. I'm not saying marketing's bad. I'm just saying you have to ask yourself, how am I going to serve the universe? How am I going to bring good into the universe? What good am I? And that's what I've asked myself my whole life. I want to do good. I want to make a difference with the way I'm uniquely able to make a difference. And that's what I'm encouraging you all to ask yourself. And, you know, I think it's great to make money, but what are you going to do about making a life? You know, making a living is not the same thing as living a life. And I'm not against that. I'm all for that. But you got to ask your question. What am I going to do beyond the money? Okay, how am I going to use the talents that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me to be in service? So your soul, you came in this world, and you've been given characteristics, and you got to get on top of that. However, who's the I? And that we began last time, and I want to develop that further. The I is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now this is very different than most of us were introduced. Most of us understand God as a particular being who is somewhere over there, right? And he has all these attributes. But that's a good version when you're a kid, because that's what you can handle when you're a kid. So there's nothing wrong with that version. It's just as you get older, somebody's got to slip you that the truth that it's a lot deeper than that. Right? And what our sources tell us, and we're going to be looking at these sources, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the soul of your soul. He's your inner higher self that you share with the entire universe. Okay? So, therefore, if Hashem were the sun, you would be a ray of his light. Your individual self is an individualized expression of what we would call a universal self, a one I am. Okay? And therefore, your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right now. You know, when people say, I don't feel God, I always feel God. But if you think God is some guy in the sky, you will never feel God. How are you going to feel a guy in the sky? Somewhere in heaven. But if you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your inner, higher self that you share with other people, well, then you'll understand why is it that people love, you know, to do ashrei singing and embracing each other. Why do we do that? Right? Why do we do that? Because it's actually we are acting out something we know in our unconscious that we share oneself. And that right now, I'm just talking to myself. Right? You and I are sharing oneself. Now, I'm not you, you're not me. Just like the rays of the sun are not one and the same, but they are rooted in and a manifestation of, an expression of, one sun. Okay? And as I mentioned to you the last time, you know, people think that there's someone in heaven and someone on earth. I happen to be the someone on earth, and Hashem is the someone in heaven. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't someone. He is the one. You're someone. You're some of the one. Okay? But you're a part of a chelek elokamim al, as the Midrashim call us. We are a chelek eloka mim'al. We are a part of an aspect, a facet. The English translations fall short. But you are a chelek eloka mim'al. That's who you are. But the problem is when I say that's who you are, you think, oh, so I, Josh, am a chelek. I, David Aaron. No. That's your personification. That's your personality clothing. Okay? When I say you, I'm talking to the you before you got your name. You understand that? The you before you got your name. But ego is when you get so fixated on your name and your reputation, that's why you're not getting nevuah. The anav gets nevuah because he's able to get so inside the pure self that he literally hears God. Because he's so anchored in the soul of all souls. And he's going to be getting messages. He's going to be getting guidance. What gets in the way is when you put yourself under the me. And now the me, you know, who are you? I'm David Aaron. That's who I am. David Aaron is who I am. No, that's not, David Aaron is not who I am. I am a soul. I play David Aaron. David Aaron is a facet of me, but I'm much more than David Aaron. I am a soul. I am a chelek elokamim al. The more you believe that and the more you live a life, which is what Torah is about, that affirms that and nurtures that, the more guidance you will get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you get a little Rebbe for bracha, why am I going to this man for bracha? Because he's much more attuned to the higher self, to the greater self. Okay? So as I mentioned to you, so what happened at Sinai? Right? So most people think, because, you know, they watch the Ten Commandments, that, you know, God, with his booming, loud voice, spoke to us from heaven, or the way the Chumash describes it is Hashem floated down onto the mountain, Yarad, he came down on the mountain, whatever, what does that mean? But essentially what really happened at Sinai is we heard ourself. Not myself, not yourself, ourself. And ourself transcends time and space, which is something that Carl Jung said. Carl Jung, the psychologist, who says that he was deeply impacted by Kabbalistic teachings. He started studying the writings of the Arizal, okay, even though he wasn't Jewish. He said that I simply believe that a part of the soul transcends time and space. That's what he said. Now, I would edit that. I wouldn't say that as a Jew, that a part of the soul transcends time and space. I would say that I am a part of a soul that transcends time and space. And then there's a soul that transcends time and space. We refer to that soul as God. Okay? And that soul is your root, your anchor, your context, your essence. You're not God, okay? Because I am, okay? You're not God, right? And that's the scary thing about these ideas, that a person can come away thinking that they are God. What?
We're all God.
What? We're not all God.
We're all
part of
God.
Yeah, like all of us. Ah, okay. Well, that's why you have to understand. God is not the sum of the parts, right? There is a whole self, a one self, that always was, is, and always will be. And we are partial expressions of that one self, okay? But the root is not the sum total of the branches. The root is much greater than the branches. And there's endless branches that are going to be growing out of that root. But the root, we're not, God is not the sum total of man. You see, the mistake you just made is the mistake of the Tower of Babel, right? Which maybe you were in your previous life, okay? Because in the Tower of Babel, the Zohar says that, what did they mean when they said, let us build a tower in a valley? What are they talking about? The Zohar says that this is all sexual symbolism, that the tower and the valley was correlating to sexual organs, and that what they wanted to do is they wanted to group together and make sexuality according to what they want, okay? And therefore, adultery, if we all agree, won't be adultery. If we all swap wives and we're all okay with it, then it's okay, because the truth is the sum of the parts. And so therefore, truth is democratic, and all we have to do is the more, if we all gather together and agree something's true, it will be true. So in other words, they believed that God was the sum of the parts. And if we could get all the parts together, we will determine God. That's not what we're saying here. We're saying that there's one self, one soul, one consciousness, one field of consciousness, which we're going to look at some quantum physics that talk about this, okay? And that we are the outgrowth. There is one ocean and many waves. You are a wave in the ocean of one self, one soul, one God, okay? And that ocean is not made up of us, okay? Just as the root is not made up of the branches, although the branches are unfolding from that root. And so just the same thing, the sun is not made up of its rays, right? And the sun is not the sum total of the rays. The sun is a whole that precedes the rays, and the rays are just the expression of the sun in many individualized ways, okay? And so are you and I, so am I, okay? But you are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. And the way you can experience this is to realize, and this I did share with you, but just very quickly again, you know, nobody in this room could turn off their hearts. We talked about this, right? Did we talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're not beating your heart. But if you're not beating your heart, then who is? Well, whoever that is, that's what we mean, or that's what we experience when we say God. The source of all powers. The name for Hashem that correlates to that truth. That He is the owner of all powers. All the powers within you are not from you. That name is called Elohim. Okay? And we're going to look at sources that tell us that. Okay? Yes. When you experience it, all the powers within you are not from you. Which is something I experience pretty regularly. Because when I speak, I don't feel David Aaron is speaking anymore. My best talks is when David Aaron gets out of the way, okay? And I just channel, okay? And you can see I don't have notes, right? Because what I just basically do, I just get rooted into myself. And when you get to that place, musicians know this. Your best moment as a musician is when you're not playing that instrument anymore. You experience a greater power working through you. I spoke to this guy that played with some of the greats. I mean, he played with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And he became an Orthodox Jew. And I asked him, you know, I said, why is it that there's so much alcohol and drugs in the world of music? He said, because of their egos. He says, because what really drives us to do music is that incredible moment of service and surrender where we know it's not us. We know it's not our music. We know it's not our talent. We know it's not our fingers. We just realize we experience this great spirit, the true musician of all, playing through us. And that's our ecstasy. That's what drives us. But what happens after the concert is the people run up to us and ask us for our autographs, right? And they start clawing at us. And we start to want to believe that it is us. But that interferes with our creative flow because that's ego. This is my power. This is my strength. That's what it says. Kochi v'otzem yadi asalei techai alazem. That's the beginning of the end. My power, my strength has accomplished all this. No, there's no my. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There is one God, one source of all powers. And if you're in service, your goal is to be an instrument for God. I experience myself sometimes as just a glove. And in my best moments as a public speaker, I just experience myself inspirited by a power much greater than myself, right? And that is Gan Eden. When you experience that no self, that's where you get self-esteem. You move from low self-esteem to no self. And in that no self, where you experience not this individual separate ego fighting to feel good about yourself, you experience yourself as a ray of the sun, a ray of God, right? And that ray knows that all the light and all the energy and all the warmth is from the sun. I'm just a ray. And that's when I found my greatness. So when you realize that all the powers within you are not from you, not from you as an ego and not from you as a soul, but from the soul of all souls, nishmat ha-nishamot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you find incredible power. You ask people in the world of sports, they'll say the same thing. There was something about that move, there was something about that play that it wasn't human. He just caught the ball and everything. There was this feeling that a greater power worked through all of us. Or you watch a jazz band and they're jamming. And it's just, how do they do this? You know, and then they stop on a dime because they know this isn't us anymore. There's a greater power that is working through us. And that's what it means to serve God. To serve God doesn't mean, yes, sir, there's some power who's got some big ego trip and he wants you to serve him. To serve God means to be a channel, to be a vehicle, to be a merchava, where you realize that the wisdom coming through you, the talent coming through you, the song, the poem, the play, whatever's coming through you, didn't start with you. And you are a vehicle. And that's why our forefathers and foremothers were referred to as a merchava. They were vehicles. And that's what you want to be. You want to be an instrument for God. But to be an instrument for God, you got to say, I want to do God's work. Right? And what is God's work? It's to bring peace, to bring happiness, to bring goodness, to bring wisdom, to bring justice. Right? But a lot of people, all they want to do is just make a lot of money. And I'm not against that. I'm all for that. Right? But that shouldn't be your career. That should just be the way you make money. Okay? But your real, real mission in life is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Just like the mission of a ray of the sun is to bring the sun into the world. That's what rays do. They channel the sun into the world. That's what you got to ask yourself. Okay. And the answer to that is in your me. What are the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you? Right? He gave you that character. Use that character. That's where the me comes in. But you don't use the me as the source of your identity. The source of your identity is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the source of your identity is service. The vehicle, the instrument, is your me. Now you use your me for the meaning. Let's hear some questions, yeah.
So how can you ever really compliment someone because it's not them doing it? It's probably, if someone's really good at, someone's a really good writer, how can you compliment their writing if it's the work of God?
That's a great question. That's why on the top of everything you do, you should put a Bet Samach Dalet, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, that I know this isn't coming from me. You know, I shared this idea with a screenwriter in Hollywood. He wasn't religious, he was a Jewish guy. And he says, Rabbi, I have to tell you, I knew this. He said, and I've never shared this with anybody, but I see I can share this with you. He says, before I write a film, I have a prayer. I say, please, God, use me. Okay? And that's the prayer you should say. Please, Hashem, use me. I want to be in service. I want to do your work. I want to do good work in the world. I want to do God's work in the world. Right? But I compliment you that you took what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and you used it in service. Okay? Otherwise, I shouldn't compliment you, right? I should compliment you because you used your writing talents to write something disgusting, right? I'm complimenting because that's your choice. Your real choice isn't the talent. The real choice is using the talent to serve. And that, I compliment you. You did that. That was your choice. You have chosen to use your talents to serve, right? But are you serving your ego? Or are you serving Hashem? And when you serve Hashem, you feel more empowered. You feel more yourself than you do when you serve your ego. The best way to alienate yourself from yourself is to invest in your ego, which is just my source of self-worth is my me. But if my me isn't the source of my self-worth, but the vehicle for me to express my self-worth, which is rooted in and anchored in serving Hashem, fine. And that's what Torah life is about. Serving Hashem. And serving Hashem doesn't mean, yes, sir, you know, get me into Gan Eden. Serving Hashem means I serve Hashem's purpose. I serve to bring godly wisdom in the world, godly kindness in the world, godly love in the world, godly truth in the world. Right? And that's the question you have to ask yourself. How can you serve? My way of serving is to teach Torah. Right? That's one of my ways of serving. Okay? I also work at McDonald's. Just joking, right? But, yes.
Is there God in non-Jews also?
Yes, absolutely. And also in rocks, and everyone is in some way an expression of the one self, right? And everybody has a service, of course. Absolutely.
Well, it's created by God.
No, it's more than created by God. The table is also an expression. If you say not, then you are limiting God and saying God stops somewhere. How can you stop God somewhere? If you say that... How do you know that? When's the last time you talked to a table? Table talk. Go ahead. Josh, ask the table. You didn't say it nicely. That's why he's not going to answer it. And the table knows you don't believe him. So if next time you talk to a table, do it with respect. Well, so we haven't defined soul enough, but when I start bringing in stuff from scientists that basically tell you that there is no such thing as matter, there's just mind, okay? And these are scientists saying these things. So we have to talk about this more. We're just starting, right? But right now, I just want you to come away understanding you are a soul. What is a soul? A part of Hashem. Who is Hashem? The one soul, the one self, who was, is, and always will be, who transcends time and space. You are a ray of Hashem, given a part to play, and your self-worth is dependent on serving. Take your me and use it in service of our self. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eloheinu, our self is Eloheinu. The source of our powers is Eloheinu. Okay? All right, any questions you can ask me privately. And Shkoyach, thank you so much. See you tomorrow. Yeah.